what is the ultimate seminar experience? Well, the ultimate seminar experience is when you take energy and consciousness and unite them purposefully to accomplish the goal that you want to accomplish. Now, what goal do you have in your minds that you would like to accomplish? What dreams do you have in your mind that you'd like to accomplish? Now, Sam is accomplishing the idea that he is enjoying a fantastically healthy body. I'm enjoying the same thing. And all of us are enjoying fantastically healthy bodies. But where do we make our mistake? We make our mistake by not following the ultimate seminar experience of combining energy with consciousness. We are all energy beings. That's all we are. Energy beings. And as energy beings, we are just utterly fantastic. But we have to learn how to put energy together with consciousness. We so often think thoughts, and we think those thoughts are, okay, we can think those thoughts. We watch a movie on television, and we see all of the anger, we see all the fighting, we see all the anxiety going on there, and we think to ourselves, what's this all about? You know, why are we watching this? And then you go to the grocery store, you go to the newsstands, and you see the newspapers with all the headlines of the unhappy things going on in the world, and you say, why am I looking at this? Why am I putting that in my consciousness? If I put that in my consciousness, I'm going to have a cold. I'm going to have a headache. I'm going to be sick. I'm going to just about die. Things terrible are going to happen to me if I allow myself to take my conscious energy and put it on things that are none of my business. It's bad enough putting things on that are our business than to put things that are none of our business. And what's none of our business is to see the world at war. I will define that. It's none of our business to see the world at war. It's none of our business to see the world at war and to read about it and to think about it. What is our business? Our business is to think about the world at peace. Our business is to see every nation on the face of the earth harmonious with one another, all in divine right action. That's what our business is. Our business is not to see the illusions of the world, which are not necessarily beneficial. Our business, our responsibility, is to see ourselves and the world as beautiful and good. And the only way for us to see our world as beautiful and good is to have the ultimate seminar experience. Now, I will read these topics, which we will be discussing over the next few days. And these are the topics that I'll give you a copy of if you want. And it'll give you a good idea of a direction to go. So here we go. Values, that's what our theme is. My values are defined by my ideals. My first ideal is knowing that I am God. I will stop for a moment here. So many times I go places, and my students who are trying to bring new people into our study say, don't say I'm God, don't say I'm God right away, you know. You chase people away, you say I'm God, you know. And that's true. But the thing is, here we have a group of masters. Here we have a group of advanced consciousnesses of people who want to be all that they can be. Okay. My first ideal is knowing I am God. My second ideal is knowing all is God. My third ideal is knowing I live to express my divine order. My fourth ideal, I live in the relative aware of the absolute. I live in the relative aware of the absolute. We'll talk about that. My fifth ideal, I see past the relative to the original. And we call it the original purity and integrity. We see past the illusions of our world and we look to what the real thing is. Why is it the real thing is not expressing itself? Because we've clouded it over with appearances. And we'll work on releasing appearances during these next few days. My sixth ideal, I am untouched by relative appearances. That's a big step in your spiritual revelation and your physical. See, we are living in a physical body to live in a perfect physical body, not to live in a physical body that we flagellate, you know, like the Buddha had done before he found his illumination. Once he found his illumination, he began to say, well, let's party. Peter, you think that's a good idea? Huh?
Yeah.
Peter, you think that's a good idea?
Yes.
Yeah. Sam, you think that's a good idea? Let's party?
Yes.
Yes, I do too. You think so, Lord Sun Jiang? Huh?
Yes.
Yes. You too?
Yes.
And Chris?
Yes.
Oh my, we're one of mind here, so we'll have fun. Okay. The seventh ideal is to know I am ideal. And it's not a matter you say, I am ideal man, woman, child, father, mother, whatever, you know. I am ideal. I am transcending all of the limitations we might have by the adjectives we use or the adverbs we use to define a word when we say that I'm the ideal father, or I'm the ideal mother. Well, if you're the ideal, then you are supercalifragilistic as a mother, father, as a son, a daughter, as anything that you are. Now, that's that part. Now, two, I live the principle of unconditional love. My thought controls everything that happens in my life. Living unconditional love in my inner wisdom to guide it to take charge of who I am. I direct my body's ontological stem cells to my calling. You like that word, ontological? I direct my stem cells to my calling. And a stem cell is an undifferentiated cell. It doesn't know what it's supposed to be. And the word ontological means that too. Okay. I accept ontological cells mentally, physically, and emotionally. I accept these cells existing in my body and doing whatever I want them to do. We have spoken about that before, but we can never speak about that too much. Okay? I daily conduct a school of unconditional love for my cells. Every day we have 10,000 stem cells popping up in our brain, and they say, what should we do, Dad? What should we do, Mom? What do you want us to do, you know? And I haven't got time to think about it, or you don't think about it. And so then they just go and join the rest of the kids doing whatever the other cells are doing. And if the other cells are sick, then they're going to join the sick cells and say, that's what we're going to be. And it's not a bad thing to be sick. It's wasteful, but not bad. And so if you take charge every day and you say, okay, stem cells, I want you to take the same old story. Reveal my original purity and integrity. Reveal my original purity. Reveal my original purity and integrity in my body, in me, in all that I am. And that's a fantastic area. Okay. Principle functions through the law of cause and effect. This is what we oftentimes forget, that principle functions through the law of cause and effect. And we want to be masters of the law of cause and effect. We want to put the cause in motion for the effect we want. Not worry about the effect we get and then say, how do I change the cause? You don't. You put a new cause in motion. You put a different cause in motion. A cause that says what you want it to say. Okay? Now, my consciousness affects my life as balance and peace. My consciousness affects my life as balance and peace. Isn't that what you were saying? Pretty good? Our consciousness affects our body as peace and balance. Now, how does that work? That works by one simple thing. It works by the idea that we are master of our thought. And if we're master of our thought, then we make sure that every thought we think frees us. Now, perhaps this is what's going to be happening. During these next few days, you're going to be looking at me and you're going to be saying, Herb, have you got the sniffles? Herb, is your nose running? Herb, have you got a cold? Herb, have you got the flu? Herb, are you having pneumonia? Herb, are you going to die? Herb, are you going to conk out on us? Well, would you like me to shoot you now? Don't have such thoughts. Look at whatever I illustrate to you as a reflection of your thought. And do you want that? No. So you stop thinking them. Now, you think about me and you say, Herb, you are fantastic. Herb, your sinuses are excellent, which they are. Herb, your nose drain system is excellent, which it is. Herb, you have no cold. You don't want to say you have no cold. But Herb, you're whole and perfect. Herb, you're whole and perfect. Herb, you're whole and perfect. Is that a good idea? Huh? It's a very good idea. That is what we want to do. Whenever we get the opportunity to see a person who might have some condition that we consider something we don't want, then, right then, we put the cause in motion for their wholeness and perfection. Now, are you willing to do that?
Yes.
Well, we will see as the week goes on here. Okay, now, my ethics, my morals, my standards, my character, my charisma are simplicity.
Now,
all of you know about what's his name? Obama. You heard his name?
Yes.
You heard about him?
Yes.
Isn't he interesting? Fantastic guy, huh?
Yeah.
Now, you all heard about him? No. What's so good about Obama? Nothing. What's so good is that we all created him as a super guy. We created him as a master consciousness. We created him as charisma, outstanding. We created him as a person who's going to bring balance and peace and love to the world because he doesn't care about any other purpose except divine right order. Now, that's terrible, isn't it? That's terrible. He should worry about politics. He should worry about getting the rest of the politicians to agree with him. He doesn't care. He presents his program, and you know what he does? He presents it to the people, and the people want it. And so the politicians have to go along with him. I mean, he's not stupid. He's a young man, but he's sure not stupid. Now, how did he happen to come along? What was it? The time is right, but that's not the point. He came along because he was at that point in his life when his charisma said, go, and he went. Now, this is where you guys are, because this is the ultimate experiment in seminar experiences. You are right here to reach out and enjoy it, and we will, but we'll be touching upon a few things that you may not like, because we'll say, out, you know. We don't need anything that's contrary to our original what?
Purity and integrity.
Our original purity and integrity. We don't need anything that's contrary to our original purity and integrity, and we want to hang in there and be true to it. Okay. My ethics guide me to live by a divine reflection. Now, most people think that ethics are morals, doing what is right and wrong, doing what society says you should do, doing what your parents and your family and the society, the rules, the laws of society say you should do. But is that true? Think about it here. My ethics guide me to live by a divine reflection. Now, where does that divine reflection come from? Right inside. And when we look at the world about us and we see it as not so good, that divine reflection is having a trouble. When we look at the world out here with our pure eyes, with our pure attitude, with our pure thinking, then that's what the world is. And that's what morals are all about. That's what ethics are all about. Okay. My morals are being myself and having fun. Nice, isn't it? Can you be yourself and have fun? Yeah, me too. And it's great, isn't it? We don't have to pacify or make anyone feel good by what we think. We do just what we believe. I have the most fun giving my seminars because I don't have to remember what somebody else said. I just listen within and say what I'm saying. Say what I believe. Say what my convictions are. Say who I am. And you look at other you look at great philosophers, and you look at great theologians, and you look at great people, and these great people are teaching what? They're teaching their own philosophy. What did Socrates teach? Did he teach somebody else's philosophy? He didn't even know anybody else's philosophy. He just taught what he believed. And what did all the rest of them teach? Marcus Aurelius, all of them. They taught themselves. And this is what I want you to do by the end of our session today, this week, that you are being yourself and having fun. And being yourself and having fun is the greatest thing in the world. Because you're the greatest thing in the world. Okay. My standard is the view all, is to view all as a master. My standard is to view all as a master. I look at you and I see you as a master, but nothing to change, nothing to improve, nothing to add. You got it made. I look at Seville here and I say, wow, she is a master. She is totally in charge of her mind, her body, her being. She's just fantastic. She walks into a room and everyone says, you know, mentally, hi. Some people walk in a room and you say goodbye, you know, because you don't want to see them. But when you are master of your consciousness, everyone is going to be harmonious with you, okay? My character is founded upon all being good and very good. My character is founded upon all being good and very. What does my character do? I judge everybody in this world according to who I am. You say, well, we shouldn't judge. There's no way you can get around it, but it'd be nice if we didn't judge. So I look at each one of you from my point of view, and I feel that I'm walking the perfect path. I feel that I'm thinking the perfect thoughts and doing perfect things. So what do I think you're doing? Can I find any fault in you?
No.
No, I can't find anything to change in you. I can't find anything to improve because you are walking your perfect path. And I see you that way, and you see yourself that way, and everybody sees you that way. That is very good. Okay. Who I am is my charisma, the divine all, in every way. Now, who I am is my divine charisma. Now, we look at Obama, and we see he's a very charismatic man, and he's going to be in Europe in April, visiting with the heads of state of all the major nations, and I think he's planning on coming down to Nigeria, too. And as he does this, he'll be visiting with all these people, not to get economic control or anything, just say, how can we work together to bring peace on earth? How can we work together to bring economic balance to the world? Not the money part, but it's the thought about it. How can we do that? And you know what the people are going to say to him? Whatever you say, that's what we're going to do. Whatever you say, that's what we're going to do. We're going to bring economic balance into the world by whatever you say. And they will back him up 100% because they believe in him. They believe in what he teaches and what he's saying. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. And that's very important. That's very important. Do people believe in what you say? When you walk into your home, does your family look at you and say, eh? Or does your family look and say, Daddy, Mommy, you know? Do they love your presence? Think about it. If your own children do not love your presence, you're doing something in a direction that you really don't want to go. You want to be so careful what sort of a presence, what sort of an attitude, what sort of a beingness that you give to your family, to your friends, to your world. Because if you don't be careful, you're just going to have to live the image that you're showing. And if you're showing an image of being an angry father or an angry mother all the time, then you're going to have to live up to that. And then if you all of a sudden find psychology and you realize, hey, I can talk to people and I can bless them and I can, by talking to people, bring them around to a new point of view, and so therefore I don't have to be an angry old man or an angry old woman. I can just be a loving presence. But you see, that takes a lot of self-confidence. That takes a lot of inner awareness, and we'll be discussing that. Okay. Who and what I am is simple, reflected in all and that are in my world. Everyone in my world reflects my simplicity, however simple I am. I was talking to a man in London yesterday, and he said, you know, what I like about the teaching of the University of Healing, it's so simple. It's so simple that it, and yet it's so profound, people don't realize how profound it is because it sounds so simple. It sounds so easy, and of course it is easy, but it's the application. And he said he has been putting it into practice ever since he first heard about it, and beautiful things have been happening in his life. Now, we all do silly things. We turn away from what we know to be the truth, and then we say, why did that happen to me? Why did I get the cold? Why am I sick? Why is anything? And that's not the point. That's not the point. You take a hammer and you hit your thumb. You understand? You take a hammer and go bang, bang, bang on your thumb. Is that allowed? Sure. Is there any reason you can't do that? No. So you hit. And then all of a sudden you say to yourself, there's something about this hammer and my thumb. I think I'm going to get rid of the hammer. I don't want to get rid of my thumb. I'll get rid of the hammer. So you get rid of the hammer and you stop hitting your thumb. And you say, my goodness, that feels a lot better. I don't mind any more hammers in my world. And so you blame the hammer for the objectivity that's taking place in your life. Whereas in reality, it's your own inner thought that you're playing with. So you stop having the hammer, but then you allow yourself to build up another image, another something that is another hammer. And you say, nobody loves me. Everybody's picking on me. Everybody's telling how terrible I am. Everybody's revealing my secrets, and that's not fair. You see? So we don't want that aspect in our life. We want to be totally in charge. Who and what I am is simple, reflected by all that is active in my world, all that goes on in my world. Now, here it also says, I am the ideal charismatic being. I am the alpha, always on top of all. See, I am the ideal charismatic being, which means that I am the ideal being in consciousness, in every word I speak, in every thought I think. I'm the ideal. And is the ideal good? Yeah. Okay, and then what's the other aspect here? It says I'm the alpha. Now, you know what the alpha means? Alpha is used in dog terminology. When you have a dog, and or several dogs, one dog usually runs the pack. That's the way dogs are designed. They go in packs. And one dog will run the pack. It doesn't mean they're a bad pack. It just means they follow their leader. And so you find who is the leader, and you make sure that leader behaves and follows rules right away. And if you do, you won't have to teach the rest of the pack. You just teach the leader of your pack, and the rest of the pack will learn from the leader. The leader will insist that the rest of the pack do whatever he is expected to do, or what he has agreed to do. Sounds sort of interesting, huh? Sounds sort of strange. I'll be telling you more about that and telling you about Caesar. Caesar Milan. He's a Mexican boy in the United States who is a dog whisperer. Really fascinating. Okay. My belief is that all is God. I am God. I am more than my body. I am consciousness and universal intelligence expressing itself through me now. Expressing itself through me and through my body now. Okay. Now, we go on here. Listening within makes fulfilled life's possibilities. Oh, Listening within makes a fulfilled life possible. Listening within makes a fulfilled life possible. Listening within makes a fulfilled life possible. What does that mean, Sam? That means putting your attention on your own self and not somebody else. And when Sam goes to the doctor says, Sam, let's check things over. And Sam, in his mind, he has really screwed the doctor up. In Sam's mind, he says, I am whole and perfect and my body shows it. I am whole and perfect and my body shows it. I'm whole and perfect and my body shows it. And so the doctor looks for what he had seen in another time, and it's not there. It's not there. But it's not there because Sam took charge of his own life and his own thought. Now, do you do that? Do you do that with your children, with your families? Do you do that with yourself? Did you ever go into your boss's office and the boss said, I want to talk to you. Come in here. And you go in there, you know. Hey, you go in there like an alpha dog, you know, chin up, chest out, shoulders back, and say, boss, I sure like working here in this company. Things are just so exciting here. We're doing such wonderful things. This last project I did here, it only took me about maybe an hour or two, whereas a year before it had taken me 2 hours, and before that it took other people 3 or 4 weeks. But I'm getting it down now. I'm getting it down. Things are coming along just fine. Well, what did you want to talk to me about? And the boss said, I hadn't realized you were doing that good, he says to himself. And so then the boss turns to you, well, now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give you a raise. Oh, how nice. How nice. But you've got to agree that you'll only come to work 4 hours a day. Huh. Now, you see, we don't know what the boss is going to say. All we know is that we give our best under all circumstances, and the only good comes to us. And that's what it's all about. Listening within makes a fulfilled life possible. My virtues and love determines any success I have in my life. My virtues and my love determine any success I have in my life. Now, what are your virtues? What are your values? Are your values that you do everything that makes life happy for you? Are your values that you're a joyous person? Are your values that you find that you're working with a team of wonderful people? Are your values that everybody in the world is just super and wonderful? If that's what your values are, then that's what helps to make up the program that you're doing in your life. My values and love determine my success in life. So, as you have these values like that, what happens to you? As you have these values, all of your life opens up like a floodgate, and everything comes in, out from you. You see, you don't want things from the outside to come in. You don't want $5 billion out here, and you don't want Bill Gates' money, and you don't want, isn't that right? We think about, you know, if Bill Gates gave you $5 million and you said thank you, what might happen? You lost the incentive to be who you are. Bill Gates oftentimes gives money to people who are developing programs contrary to his, or he goes and buys out their company if they are subverting his company. And he doesn't mean about it. He just buys it out, and the person who sells it gives a contract saying they will not work in that field for the next 10 years. You know, which is quite demanding. But you see, when you choose to honor yourself, when you choose to honor your world and honor everything in it, everything works out just the way you want it to. And it's a very wonderful thing. Okay, now, this is probably one of the most difficult ones. It's under my belief is that all is good of God. Now, this statement is the most difficult statement of all. It's the most complex statement, most confounding statement. And the statement is, what? I am God. I am God. Can you say, I am God? Can you say, I like me? Can you say, I'm wonderful? Can you say, I'm great? And the statement is, no, you can't, because you know of your own errors, you know of your own failures. But when you train yourself as a mantra to say, I like me, I like me, I like me, I'm God, God I am, I like me. When you train yourself as you do this, then somewhere within you develops that little conscience, you might call it, which says to you, no, no, you don't want to do that. No, that's not your nature. No, you don't want to drink all that liquor. No, you don't want to smoke all those cigarettes. No, you don't want to do those things which limits you and which keeps you down. You don't want to do those things. You see? And so what goes on when you do that? What goes on? Pretty soon, you just live in the harmony of peace. You live in the consciousness of what is right action and truth. You don't even consider any of the nonsense that you had considered before, because that doesn't make any sense to you anymore. Not one little bit. All right? That'd be a good area for it too. Work values. What I think my job values are is what my job values are. What I think my job values are is what my job values are. What I think my job values are is what my job values are. I think my job values are I work for the finest company that I could ever consider working for. Otherwise, I wouldn't work there. I'm very selective. Oh, sure, I'm the janitor, or I'm the secretary, or I'm whatever, but I don't want to work for anybody that I don't respect 100%. I don't want to work for anybody or be part of anything that isn't reflective of my divine nature, you see? So, when you do that, when you make that statement, what is it here? Work values. What I think my job values are is what they are. What do you think that your job values are? Do you think your job values are to get the job done? Do you think your job values are to make the community respect your company? Make it. Encourage, just show it. Yeah. Anyhow, make the community respect your values, your organization. Do you think that your values are that your family's going to love you? That you're going to do everything to make your family love you? Make your wife or husband love you? A lot of people do that. And those people are getting a divorce. Those people are separating from their families and their husbands, their wives. Those people are not happy at all. Now, why is it they're not happy? They are not happy because they are going against themselves. No. When you say, all is in divine order, I like me, I like me, I like me, all is in divine order. When you say that, what happens to you? Everything falls into divine right order. One young lady got a hold of me and asked me to treat for her about the tree in her front yard. I mean, I should be treating about a tree in her front yard, you know? And I'm not just being silly by saying it. I don't treat for anything. I see done whatever it is that you want done. Okay, so she had this beautiful multi-million dollar home and one great big wonderful window overlooking Lake Lugano. Beautiful view. But right in front of the window was a great big pine tree that had been there for hundreds of years, it seems. Really tall. And she would like to remove that pine tree so from the house she can see her wonderful Lake Lugano. From her house she can see the boats and friends going up and down. From her house she's got this access, which is not bad, not unreasonable. And so she said, Herb, treat with me that I am able to remove that tree. That's not a bad idea. So I treated that she could remove the tree, but I told her, I'm adding in there, all is in divine order. You don't have to trust her or wait for anything. All is in divine order. So, she called, and she said, Herb, guess what? Because of your treatment, I'm able to cut that tree down and have the view of my lifetime. Now, did I really do anything? Or did she, when she asked me about it, plant the seed in consciousness and demonstrate it? You see, she planted the seed in consciousness. She determined that this was important for her. And so she made it happen. I've been to a lot of exuberant dances, and in these exuberant dances, people would sometimes dance so hard they would bust the tile on the floor. You know, they're hitting it in a hollow spot beneath it, apparently, but it'd crack. And then they'd say, "Herb, why did you let us do this? Why did you do this? My dad's going to shoot me because they're away, and us kids are having a party here." I said, "Well, look at it this way. You go over to that spot and you take a heavy object and drop it on that spot. And if it doesn't go further, that's right. Now, did you cause that spot to break? Did you cause that spot to be there? Yep. Then you just take care of it. You just call the tile company and tell them to come out and replace the tile or more, whatever needs done. You just do it out of the simplicity of your heart. And then out of your simplicity of your heart, it's done. But you see, we act from a simple premise to a divine response, and we get such great results. Well, that one, yes, 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 work values. What I think my job values are, they are. So if your job values, as mine are, to speak my word for people, to have them enjoy wholeness, right action, peace, I do that. And if they want more, fine, I'm there for to give more. All the time that I'm with anybody, I'm there to give them whatever help I can. Now, that's what each one of us wants to do. Each one of us wants our work ideals to be the most beautiful that we could ever have. Now, leadership values. What is the value of a leader? Is it truly divine nature? What is a leader? My son is a leader. Every time he turns around, he's leading his people who are working in his airplane factory. And they're all getting minimum wage, as small a wage as you can get. And they don't want to leave him. They stay with him. They work with him. And they do everything perfect. And they know that they shouldn't write or get into the contract. Mark should do all that. And so they leave it for him. And they tell him. And they tell him what they should do. And he does it perfectly because the leadership is a natural thing within him, as it is a natural thing within you. When you have a natural leadership within yourself, go and demonstrate it. Now, another point here, how I observe the world and how the world is true to me. How I observe the world and how the world is true to me. The world is truth, my dear. The world is truth in such simplicity that we want to put it into motion and bring it about in our lives. Okay. How I observe the world is how the world is. We want to observe the world as a beautiful thing, and then that's exactly what it is. Are your families happy? Do you have enough money coming in from your jobs? Do you have children who are not obedient, but who like themselves and do everything right? You know, they just do it right. You don't have to chase them. You don't have to tell them. They just do everything right. Is that what you want? Well, then, that's where this comes in. How I observe the world is how the world is. Now, in section 5 here, my ideal confirms who and what I am. My ideal confirms who and what I am. Whatever I see of you, if I were looking at you objectively and not subjectively, whatever I look at you and see, that's who you are. And it might not be so good. If I look at you subjectively, what am I doing? I'm looking at you out of my heart. If I look at you objectively, I look at how you're wrangling the world and how you're making little troubles for yourself. You don't have to do that. We'll be talking about those things. They're just really great. I am the allness. Past and future is in the now. I am the allness. Past and future is in the now. We'll be talking about how we can live in the now and enjoy the now 100% in every area of our life, but by doing a few simple techniques. And then we have, my ideal reveals how I deal with me in the physical. My ideal reveals to me how I dwell in my physical home, how I live in the now. My ideal reveals to me. See, you know what you should do. You know how you should respond to your family. You know how you should speak to people. You know that. You know it right deep in your heart, and you know it, and it's wonderful. But what you have to be very careful about is that you are the one who's making the decision, not your wife or your children or your husband or anybody else. You. Because if anybody else makes it, it's going to be based upon their apprehension of understanding of knowledge. Okay. Now, in my castle, I live as God, and my family rule shows it. How I rule my family, how I rule my castle, shows what kind of a God I am, shows what kind of a master I am, shows what kind of a genius I am. And that's an area that we're going to cover very beautifully. And then we have what I share with my family, what I teach my family, I am. We've covered that, and we'll cover it more clearly there. My value is, I like me, I respect my mind, and I honor my body, and I love my spirit. My value is, I like me, I respect my mind, I honor my body, and I love my spirit, and I love who I am. Okay, now, the other two points here. Now I set the new values and live a new life. Now I set new values and live a new life. And the last one here, how I paint my canvas is how I am divine. Now, how do you paint your canvas? How do you paint your dream? How do you paint who and what you are? Do you paint it sloppy? Do you paint it carefully? Do you first draw with a pencil drawing on your canvas of what you want to do? Or do you take a mental picture of Michelangelo's two fingers touching, you know, on the creation story? Now, what sort of things are you taking? How are you creating it? Now, you can have two fingers touching like the creation story, but you can do it a little differently. You know how you can do it differently? Don't tell that woman about it. Don't let her know. You can have the finger of God touching the finger of man. And the finger of God is a beautiful finger because she has a lovely finger. The finger of God touching the finger of man. You got the message?
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
What did I say? What did I say? What? What did I say?
The finger of God.
What did I say? I was going beyond that. That's true. Who's God that I was referring to in that particular story? No, God is a woman. I was referring to God as a woman. So if you're painting you're painting a picture, and you're painting God's finger touching Adam's finger, for instance, is God a man or a woman?
It's both.
Well, it's both, truly. But, I mean, it's a little more drastic when you say it's a woman right at the moment. You know? I mean, how many people could ever have believed just a year ago, not even a year ago, just about 5 months ago, that a black man would become president of a white nation, you know? I mean, it's totally outrageous. It's totally unbelievable. It's totally impossible. But it's for the best of the country. Whatever is for the highest and best, that's what I treat. Whatever is for the highest and best of the United States is taking place. And it doesn't matter if it means that everybody in the United States has to get on a ship and go to Europe. and stay there for 6 months while they're doing a re-clean-up job with getting all the trash out of the United States, getting all the nonsense out, taking the bulldozers and knocking down all the stuff that is a detriment to the United States, and then planting new seeds. And meanwhile, we're on vacation over in Europe or in the Polynesian Islands or something like that. But why not? Why not? I told you a story about Ellen Jeremy, and her husband was very wealthy, and I told her, why don't you buy something nice for your mom for Christmas? What does your mother like? Well, she likes to play the piano. Buy her a piano. Buy her a nice big grand piano. But her room is big enough for a grand piano to fill the whole room. Well, buy her a nice upright piano. So she bought her a piano, and her mother loved it. And her mother was getting on years. She was 90-something, but she was doing just fine. She still loved him. And then her sister, who was always just a little difficult to get along with, she bought her a beautiful typewriter because she knew she liked the typewriter. And she appreciated that very much. But then when it came time to her mother-in-law, who lived in this old beat-up house in Italy, you know, it's really in Locarno, but it really wasn't so old and beat up because people like to live in those old houses, or people are really strange. They don't want something modern, and you got to keep the exterior of the house when you're redoing the interior of the house with new sinks and electricity and air conditioning and stuff like that. And it's their way. So I said to her, why don't you send your mom, mother-in-law, down to Monaco? That's a resort in the south of the area there, and just have a ball. And while she's gone, send the contractors in there to completely redo her entire house. All modern and lovely, you know. Not too modern, but just, you know, modernish, with new things. And she said, I can't afford it. You can't afford it. My goodness sakes, you sure can. You just renovated part of your house and you spent $2 million on it. Yeah, just part of your house. But she didn't do it. Now, perhaps it was best she didn't, because the mother-in-law might have been broken-hearted that she lost all her old memoirs, you know. But maybe, if she had done it, she might have been the greatest blessing her mother ever had by getting rid of all the old and bringing in the new and being the beautiful person that she really is. But she was sort of a stingy old lady who made her pennies, pinched her pennies to make them go as far as possible. These are things that we'll be talking about. These are things that make our discussion here so exciting, because this is what it's all about. We have the ultimate seminar experience, and in the ultimate seminar experience, values and what I am. So that'll be for tomorrow. And tomorrow is going to be a wonderful day. It's going to be a beautiful day. Any of you who are here are going to have a great experience. You're going to have an experience of sort of opening up your consciousness to how beautiful you are. And you'll think to yourself, ooh, I like to keep this always. And then I'll show you how you keep it always. Kind of fun, huh? It's really exciting, really beautiful. But it's what makes the world go round. Now, as we begin our ideas together, did anyone have any question about anything we said at the moment? Sort of self-explanatory, isn't it?
Yes, there is a question. Yes, there is one. Yes, there was this explanation we didn't come to the conclusion. It's about finger touching. You said a bald woman touching. That explanation I wasn't clear.
The finger of God.
Finger of God. Touching the finger of God.
Oh, the finger of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finger of God.
Where God is looked at as a woman.
You object.
I didn't understand it clear.
So do you object?
No, I didn't object to it.
I'm just saying to you, as you think on the term I am God, God I am, as you think on the term that I like me, can you like yourself in your total beingness? Now, you have in you more woman virtues than you have man. And she has more man virtues in her than she does woman. She is more of a person who is in control. She is more of a dominant person. She is more of a fantastic person. But it's more male-oriented than it is female. Now, if we say that God is a woman, touching the hand of Adam as a woman, it puts a whole different complex on it. Now, really, I didn't mean to make a fuss over it. I was just trying to poke a little fun at it. And in the process, I think I lost all of you from having a good time with it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes, you do. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now, I will say this to you also. I would like each one of you to speak up loud enough so that I can hear you. Now, yeah, that's an imposition, and that's a discourtesy on my part for you. I have some earphones, and I can put them on, and I'll hear you clear, crystal clear. You will sound just like you're right next to my ear, whispering in my ear. But I sound right like I'm whispering in my ear too, and so I do not have my enthusiasm that I have when I don't have those things in, because I'm speaking loudly so I can hear what I'm doing. Go for it, go for it, go for it! You know, I go, go for it, go for it, go for it. Now, which would you rather have? Would you rather speak up, or would you rather have me put the headphones on so you don't have to? I would be happy to do either. I'm happiest when I don't have to do the headphones. Not that they bother me, it's just that I want to be giving you my very best whenever I'm giving you the best. So, you understand? So, what's your decision? Headphones, or are you going to speak louder so I can hear you?
If I
cut my ear to you, it means I can't hear you.
And we speak out loud.
Thank you.
And loud and clear.
I hear you. No, that's good. That's good. I don't mean to be discouraged. But if I do this, it means I want to hear what you're saying, and I want to respond to what you're saying. I want to answer whatever it is you're talking about. Because when I'm in large auditoriums and people are out there speaking and we don't have it tuned in too well, I ask everybody on stage to be listening for me, you know, so that I'm sure to get the question because I want to answer it right. I have a problem with you guys. And my problem is that I love you so much, I want to give you everything I have, and I just feel that if I can't communicate to you so that I can give you my enthusiasm, my joy, and my wonder, it takes all the fun out of it for me, you know. And I know it takes the fun out of it for you when I do that too. Now, another thing. Each one of you have names. And I met you once, twice, three times. And I always put a year in between. And during that year, I forget. Now, you see, you're not Lord Johnson, are you? Please tell me. Who are you?
Benjamin.
That's what I said. You're not Lord Johnson, are you?
No, I'm not.
You're not in the military, are you?
No, I'm not.
And you let me say that you were in the military, and you let me do it because I thought you were Lord Johnson at first. Because you had that dignity that he walks around with, you know, that self-confidence that he walks around with. And I thought that's who you were. But I felt there was something rotten in Denmark. I thought that wasn't really who you were. That you were really my Benjamin, my singer, you know, my magic boy, you know. And you have to help me. And Peter,
yeah.
I only know him so well because Ellen comes running into my office every time he sends a lesson and said, read this, isn't this wonderful, isn't this wonderful? And I say, well, it's okay. But you see, I see his thing and I see the picture. And you, she comes in with yours. She says, now, how can I encourage him to do this the way it's to really express what the lesson asks for. And so I tell her, and then she contacts you, and sometimes you might feel, why can't I be just like Pete over here? But you can't be Pete. You see, Peter is an alpha person, you know that. You know that? You know what the alpha person is? He's a leader. Is Peter a leader? Is Peter a leader?
Yes.
Yes, speak up, I don't hear you. Thank you. Peter is a leader. Sounds nice, doesn't it? So, because Peter is a leader, he is definite about doing everything right the first time. He's definite about doing his work as precisely as he can. He reads the lessons, he reads the requirements that the syllabus tells of what to do, and he follows it right to the leather, right? But he follows it up here in his mind before it gets down there on the paper. And he does a beautiful job. Now, yours is good too, but you work on the paper while you're looking for your answer, and you're writing it on the paper, and you might have to rewrite it. But I have a feeling that Peter has done a lot of rewritings in his life, and he's gotten to the point now where he learns to ask what the question is and then answer it specifically, you know. Am I right? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Pontifically, he sits there and says, oh, yes, 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 yes. Herb, you are so right. Herb, you hit the nail on the head when you talk about me. And is that right?
It's right.
Is that right, Lord Johnson?
That's right.
Benjamin! Yeah, you can just say Benjamin. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. And you can say your name. What's your name?
Albert.
Huh?
Albert.
Albert. A-L-B-A?
Yeah.
A-L... What?
B-E-R-T.
What?
A-L-B-E-R-T.
R-T.
A-L-B-R-T. Oh, Albert.
Albert, yes.
L. Albert. Albert.
Yes.
Albert. Oh, my goodness. I was trying to make it foreign. You know, like in French or German or something. Albert.
Yes.
You... I'm not asking to forgive me for not being on top of these things with your name, but I'm just saying to you, I care. And if I say it enough times, by the time our seminar is over, I'll be saying, Albert! Hey, Albert! I'll be saying it to Pete, because Albert will be a Pete. Albert would be a super being. Oh, yes. And what's this guy's name? This his name is... I heard it. I said it too. And you're in all the pictures and all the degrees and all that stuff like that. And then you wanted extra copies of it. What was that all about?
Emmanuel.
I had to talk like this for about 5 minutes before he told me his name, and he didn't tell it to me, did he? You did, didn't you?
Emmanuel.
You told me, didn't you? You told me. I mean, that's nice, because that's a reflection of you. Now, what does the word Emmanuel mean? It means, I like me.
I like me.
It means I like me. The name of the Lord, I like me.
Yes.
Yeah. And isn't that nice?
Yes.
Okay, Emmanuel.
I like
you. Whenever you approach me, just say, Herb, I'm going to give you Emmanuel's opinion.
I like me opinion.
What am I missing here?
Nothing.
I like me Ophelia.
Opinion.
Obedient?
Opinion.
Obedient?
Opinion.
Opinion.
Yeah. Yes.
I like my opinion.
Yeah.
I like me, my opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, opinion. Okay, that's a good word. I like my opinion. Yeah. I like me is my opinion of myself.
Yes.
Well, let's change that just a little bit. I like me is my conviction about myself.
Yes.
It's not an opinion.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's not an opinion that changes and stuff. It's my conviction. It's what I really believe about myself, what I really know about myself, what is the truth about me. What's the truth about you, sir?
I like me.
I, Emmanuel, like me.
Yes. I, Emmanuel, I like me.
I, Emmanuel, like me. And I like me, and I, Emmanuel, like me.
Like
you see, I, Emmanuel, like takes the place of the I. But I, Emmanuel, like me. Now, Emmanuel, what does your wife think about that? Does she think you should like yourself?
Yes.
Oh, come on. Don't be such a wimp. Does your wife think that you should like yourself?
Yes.
Don't be such a wimp. You know what I'm saying? Speak up!
Yes.
Yes.
Say to me, Herb, Emmanuel's wife is madly in love with him and thinks that everything he does is right and thinks that he's the most wonderful, fantastic man on the face of the earth. Emmanuel's wife is so right. She is so honest. She is so pure. She is so true. She knows that answer that Emmanuel is the greatest. Can you say something like that?
Yes.
Try it. With a little enthusiasm.
My wife.
Not my wife. Emmanuel's wife.
Emmanuel's wife. Emmanuel's wife. Emmanuel's wife.
Emmanuel's wife.
Emmanuel's wife
thinks Emmanuel is fantastic. Thinks Emmanuel is the greatest sex object in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Emmanuel is the greatest sex object in the world.
Emmanuel's wife thinks that Emmanuel does everything right.
Emmanuel's wife thinks Emmanuel does everything right.
Emmanuel's wife does her very best to cut down on spending money for herself and goes out rather to buy things for Emmanuel.
Emmanuel's wife
cuts down on buying things for herself and buys things for Emmanuel.
Cuts down on expenses.
Can you imagine your wife going out and buying you a beautiful outfit when she was going to go out and get one of these new Cerulli hats? But she decided you were worth more than the Cerulli hat. Could you imagine that?
Yes.
Okay. Enough said. But do you understand why I had to say that? Be objective about it.
Yes.
I like me is good. Emmanuel likes Emmanuel. Oh, how about that? And Emmanuel thinks that Emmanuel is just the greatest guy on earth, you know. How about it? And Emmanuel says, I like me, I like me, I like me all the time. Emmanuel's a good guy, you know, right? Now, what does Sybil say? Does Sybil say she likes herself? No. Yes. Sybil never says any of these things. She's teaching you guys to say it, but she doesn't say it. You know what Sybil does?
She does.
And she's a crafty old girl. You know what she does? She knows it about herself, and she doesn't even have to say it. She knows she's the greatest. She knows she's perfect. She knows she's super. She knows she's whole and perfect. She knows that she's independently wealthy. She knows she's rich beyond imagination. She knows she's all this. She knows she's got the greatest husband in the world, the greatest house in the world, the greatest world in the world. And the friends and people in her church and in her organization are the greatest people that could ever walk the face of the earth. She knows that. Now, so you want to change things around. I like me, I like me, I like me. And then you say that she knows this about herself. And she knows that she's fantastic and what have you, okay? So when you say these things and put these causes in motion, beautiful things happen. And this is what we want to learn to do. Okay, so we've done pretty well. And we've made a good start for today. We've shared for an hour and 3 minutes now. And I know that you understand what I'm saying. And you don't just think I'm senseless on this. Because everything I say has a very deep purpose for you. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Peter?
Sir?
What does your wife think when you walk in the door?
My wife loves me so much. My wife loves me so much. He thinks good of me.
That's not what I said. What does your wife think when you walk in the door?
Huh?
My wife says, here comes God. Here comes the most wonderful man in the world. Here comes that supercalifragilistic man I call my husband. My goodness sakes, yeah. My wife doesn't use my name. She refers to me, you know. Now, what does your wife think when you walk in the door? Anything you say is okay.
Okay. My wife's?
Yeah.
Your wife's?
My wife's.
You sure you got a wife?
Wife.
When I walk in the door of my home, my wife looks at me, and her eyes are so bright and so charming, I stand there just dumbfounded. She comes over and she kisses me on the neck and says, "Sweetheart, you are the most delightful being that I have ever met," or something. Now, can you tell the truth about these things that happen to you all the time?
When I stand on the door, my wife kisses me. He calls me good news. He loves me so much.
She does.
He tells stories about me.
Now, didn't that feel good?
Huh?
Didn't that feel good to say that?
Yes.
Yes. What does your wife say when you walk in the door?
When I walk into my room.
Wherever you go.
My wife loves me so much.
Yeah?
She appreciates everything about me. She's always proud to have a very magnetic husband.
Now you're getting closer.
Very fine husband. And a wealthy husband.
Wow.
Yeah. The man who knows everything and who can always handle every situation.
She says, "My husband is a man who knows everything."
Yes.
She says, "What does your wife say? What does she think?" You have to, and you see, when you start putting words in your wife's mouth, like this here, and then you go home and you find that she says that to you, you say, "What a wonderful cause and effect. My goodness. Nice, huh?" Okay, what does your wife say? You got a wife?
Yes, my wife.
Good! I love you.
My wife looks at me as unique.
Oh!
Handsome. All knowing.
Oh my goodness.
Lovely husband. And when I'm going out, she will call me, "Come, my dear, where do you go?"
And?
How you like that?
I like that so much.
Now, that's not a joke. That is not a joke. That is the truth.
It's true.
That is the truth. Now, we make it sound like a joke because we don't really want to tell people what our wife thinks about it because we're so special, you know. "Oh, when I touch your skin, sweetheart, it just tingles my whole body and I just, you know, is that right?" But you see, when you start thinking, like I was just sharing with you to think, wonderful things happen. Now, what does your wife think when you walk into the door? Schnell and loud.
As soon as I walk in, she's happy, she welcomed me and kissed me.
No. When I walk in the door, my wife welcomes me by saying, "I love you, sweetheart," or whatever.
Yeah, she hugs me.
Yeah, just make it up and loud.
When I walk in, my wife hugs me and welcomes me, and she's happy.
Come on.
She sees me.
Boy, has he got an unexciting marriage. Now, did your wife ever pick you up and carry you in the bedroom? I'm sorry? What is that? What is that? Did your wife ever pick you up and carry you into a loving embrace?
Yes.
Yes. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah. But start doing it in like that relationship right now. Give us an idea from you. What does Sam think when you walk into the room?
Oh, here comes a great lady. Fantastic.
Sam says.
Magnificent.
Yeah, Sam says.
Super.
Sam says.
Of course she says it.
But say Sam says.
Sam says, "Oh, here comes super kind of
super lady, super lady. Fantastic.
Fantastic woman.
No. That's
I love
good.
You so much."
Go on. I mean, you're having a good time. Go ahead.
Yes. You are the greatest in my life.
But true, right? All right.
Yes.
Now Sam, what do you say when Seville walks into the room? And who wants to be Sam? He stepped out for a minute. Who wants to be Sam? All right. Oh, he's coming back? You can ask him what he says when you walk in the room.
What do you say when I walk in the room?
They're having a quiet conversation there. And she's prompting Sam. And Sam? And Sam says?
I'm whole and perfect.
Well, that we know. That we know. Okay? Is that right? Okay? Well, this is what this is all about. And I think we've got some exciting moments ahead of us. So, be here and be ready and bring all your friends and let's really get this out to as far as we can so that we share the idea. We don't need people here to make us happy because they're big. We want to share the idea with everybody that they are wonderful just the way they are. And that you see them wonderful just the way they are. And that you have them when Emmanuel goes to another house of a friend of his, and his friend's wife comes up to him and says, Emmanuel, when I look at you, I just melt. Oh, Emmanuel, you're such a handsome man. You're such a gorgeous man. Oh, Emmanuel, you are so wonderful, wonderful. And the friend says, sweetheart, you never said that about me. And he said, well, you're not Emmanuel. You're not Emmanuel. You know? But anyhow, you see, we create these things happening. Good idea? Yeah? Okay. Then, let's see what she has scheduled here. Tomorrow morning, we will have values, what, and who I am, which will be a lot of fun. So, what time does she start? What time do we start tomorrow morning? Seville? Hey, Aguba. Aguba.
Are we not going to put it into writing and make it a timetable?
I would like you to do that. But we've only started. This is just the introduction today. And you see, she's got lectures, but there'll be workshops and also talking, too. Now, Grace. You know Grace. I told her to write down some ideas about her dreams and her work. And so she came up to me now a year later, and she says, I've got the thing all written down, and I've got the talk that you told me to make already made. I said, super! When do you want to make it? But you see, sometimes we do it, and we don't do it at the moment, but we do it a little later. Now, yes, I would like you to write down things. I would like you to well, maybe tomorrow. When you come in tonight, you write it, just as your meditation. What does your wife say to you when she greets you at any time? You know? What does your wife say to you when she greets you in private? What does your wife say to you when she greets you in the bedroom? You know? What does your wife say to you when she greets you after you've just returned from some magnificent accomplishment that you did? You know? What is your wife? And then, of course, we could go on another step. Who in your world is someone you respect very much? What person? Maybe it's your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, or it could be some individual, boyfriend or girlfriend or something. And what individual in your life, when they say something, it really touches you, you know, because you respect them so much. Then have that person talk to you and tell you why they like you so. You know, we want to learn to get rid of false humility. And false humility is where we say, I am good, but. I am wonderful, but. I am wonderful, but Ben is so much better than I am. And Peter is so much better than I am. Peter is so much more charisma than I have, you know. And so, I'm just nothing compared to these guys, you know. They're just fantastic. But, you see, if we have you write these things down, and it's for you. You don't have to read it to the group if you don't want to, but it's for you. So tonight, write down at least 10 items of why you like yourself and why you think you're wonderful and why you think, what would your wife say to you if she greeted you? Okay? Good. So I think it's a great idea. So go for it. Any other question? Good. I love you.
Love you too.
See you in what time in the morning?
From 9.